Thank you, Douglas. Boy, that's a smart guy for a puppet, isn't it? Huh? Thank you for those words. But how we need those, don't we? That assurance. Kids, you know what to do. It's time for you to go to class. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We have classes for our children from birth up to sixth grade during this time, during the sermon time. And you're welcome to attend those. Just go back into this atrium area, and there'll be someone there that'll help you find the class that your child belongs in. We also have a couple of elders and their wives over here to the left if you want to dismiss yourself and have prayer with them. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 to 3:13 today as we continue to look at Paul's letter to this church that he, Silas, and Timothy established on their second missionary journey. And if you haven't already, or if this is your first time here in this series, it's Acts chapter 17. You can read the account of when this church began. Paul's concerned about this church. He really is concerned. As you read through 1 Thessalonians, there seem to be some anxiety, some fears, like Douglas was talking about. They were worried about some things. One of the things that they were worried about is Paul's relationship with them. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had to leave pretty quickly because of the persecution there in the city of Thessalonica. And they were wondering, is Paul the real deal? And they needed that support. They needed some affirmation from Paul. And so as Paul goes further on down the road in his missionary journey from Thessalonica, he goes to Berea and then down to Athens, and then he goes to Corinth, where he stays for 18 months. It's probable that while he was in Corinth, he's hearing this buzz from Thessalonica that they're worried, that they're concerned. And so he sends Timothy to them to encourage them, to strengthen them in their faith. And then ultimately, once he hears that report from Timothy, he writes this letter. And Paul is very gentle. He's loving and caring in this letter. And I'm just loving studying through 1 Thessalonians. And this is why I love preaching through a book of the Bible, just to get the whole sense of what is going on, to recreate that relationship, to recreate the situation, the environment that Paul is writing to. And I really see Paul's pastoral side, his minister side, come out here. Paul, he's gentle with them. And Paul could have just sent a letter back, hey, I had to leave. I couldn't control it. You know, get over it. You know, grow up. And he doesn't do that. As we'll read in this section especially, Paul reminds them that some of these things are out of his control. And it's not an indication that he's not concerned about these believers. There's things happening that we don't even see. There's this spiritual battle that we're involved in. And so Paul is very gentle and patient with them. So I'm going to read through this section, 2:13 to 3:13. It's a longer section. You can follow along on the screens, follow along in the sermon notes, or get out your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there are Red Pew Bibles scattered out throughout the worship center here that you are welcome to. And if you don't have a Bible, take one of those. We want you to have a Bible. But as I read through this section, first I want to really encourage you to engage your mind as I read this. All right, engage your mind. Try to hear Paul speaking to these believers. And I also want you to notice his concern for the suffering, the afflictions that they are going through. There's some degree of persecution that's happening here in Thessalonica, which is not uncommon for the first century church. And what we'll see in this section, some degree of suffering is not uncommon for people of faith. So hear the words of Paul as he writes back to this church. 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles, so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Chapter 3, verse 1. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors may have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Again, you can just feel the love in those words that Paul writes to this church. We've been talking about this church being a model church. That's what he says in chapter 1. You are a model church, and the word of God is ringing out from among you. And so as I'm going through Thessalonians, I'm thinking, how can we be this model church? How can we assure ourselves that Paul would say the same things about us as he says about this church? And in this section, we see that a model church endures trials. A model church perseveres through even difficult times. Now, we're not sure of the trials that the Thessalonians are facing. He doesn't go into a lot of details there. But we can figure it might be one of these things. There might be some social isolation that's going on here. For the Jewish people, and in Acts chapter 17, we know that there were some Jews that became Christians. And so for a Jewish person to become a Christian, that would lead to a lot of isolation because that was their community. That was their social community. And so now that they have taken on the name of Christ, there are some Jewish people who have not recognized Jesus as Christ. And so ultimately, becoming a Christian would lead to this social isolation. We know that in the early church, we know that even today, that when people become followers of Jesus Christ, disciples, that conflicts with their family values. And so there may have been some disruption among some of the families there. And so fathers and sons, mothers and daughters may have been separated because people placed their faith in Jesus Christ. In addition to the Jews that became Christians, in Acts chapter 17, we learn that there were some God-fearing Gentiles that stopped worshiping idols And so that may have caused some social isolation as well. We're not going to participate in these festivals. We're not going to participate in these practices. And in the worship of idols, there was a lot of immoral practices that took place. And now they were saying, we don't participate in that anymore. And so they were probably isolated because of that as well. So families may have been divided. There were probably some economic consequences that took place as well. People's jobs may have been disruptive. The people who hadn't converted to Christianity may have stopped in engaging in commerce with people who did take on the name of Christ. In addition to Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, we see that there are several prominent women that followed Jesus Christ in Thessalonica. Their pocketbooks may have taken a hit because of that conviction to Jesus Christ. All different types of trials that these believers are going through. Maybe physical. We don't know. There's no indication in 1 Thessalonians that there was physical harm being brought upon these people. But we know that it has happened in the past. Even Paul was encountering some physical trials. In the book of Acts, we see Stephen, who boldly proclaims to the Jews that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is stoned, he is martyred, he is put to death. Already, one of the apostles has been killed. James has been beheaded by King Herod because of his conviction to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And we know it's going to happen later on in the first century. We know this is going to happen. So certainly, there's going to be more. Certainly, there's going to be some degree of physical persecution. So we don't know exactly what's going on, but something's happening. There's some stress. There's some difficulties that these Christians are enduring. But we are not people who give up at the first sign of resistance, are we? When something goes wrong, when our expectations are not met, we endure. We endure these trials. That's what a model church does. That's what a model believer does, endures. And so what can we learn from this model church about what it takes to endure during trials? Now, here's one. You've got to know that you're in a spiritual battle. You've got to know that this is going to happen. Your confession of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and your conviction to live a kingdom life, you have got to know from day one that it's going to cause some problems with some people, that you may experience some of these trials that the Thessalonians are going through, some social isolation, maybe some isolation from family, maybe an economic impact in your job, maybe in school, whatever it is. You've got to realize that when you become a Christian, that you're also introducing into your life some trials and some difficulties. And Paul says, we let you know that from the very beginning. In chapter 3, 2 through 4, he says, we sent Timothy to you. He wanted to strengthen, encourage your faith because it needed that strengthening. They needed to grow deeper in their faith. And in verse 3, he says, we did not want you to be unsettled by these trials. We don't want you to be surprised. And then he makes this statement, for you know quite well that we are destined for them. It comes with discipleship, some degree, some level of trials. Now, of course, there's so many blessings, but today I'm focusing on the fact that when you become a Christian, you have to expect that not everyone is going to like that. Not everyone is going to pat you on the back. Not everyone is going to throw a party for you at school because you were baptized last Sunday. Not everyone in your job is going to appreciate that. We are destined for some degree of trials. In verse 4, in fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. We need to know that we are in this spiritual battle and that trials and difficulties are in store for everyone who believes. In fact, years later, Paul will write two letters to Timothy, his companion on this missionary journey, who has this connection with the Thessalonian church. And look what he writes in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. He says, in fact, everyone, no exceptions, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. You know, we would like life to be smooth sailing, but we must expect the gospel to bring some degree of difficulty. So when it comes, we are not unsettled or rattled by that. It's going to happen. And it happens in different ways to different people. You may be mocked. You believe that? You believe in the Bible? You believe that this is inspired, the Word of God? You may not participate in some activities that you used to participate in. And you'll experience some persecution because of that. You'll be tempted, you'll be urged to re-engage in those activities that you know that are not part of a godly life. It may affect you at school. There may be some friends, there may be some relationships that suffer because of your commitment to Jesus Christ. It may happen in your family. It may happen in your job. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to deceive. We're going to do things right. And that may cause problems in your job. Jesus warned us, didn't he? In this world, you'll have difficulties. You'll have tribulations. You'll have hard times. We should be ready, and we should not be surprised. Now, the second thing, how do we make it through these trials? We need to love one another through this battle. We need to love one another. That's what this church needs to be. A group of people who are all struggling to some degree, but then we've decided to walk alongside that person. Because within the church, isn't this the place where we should find that strength? Where we should find that support? Where we're not fighting with each other, but we're encouraging one another. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, listen to the words of Paul. He says, "For this reason, I could stand it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith." Paul is saying, "I'm really concerned about you. I want to walk alongside you through these battles. I want to be there. I want to love you through this. I was afraid that the tempter had tempted you and that our labors may have been in vain." It is so important to love one another when we are suffering trials. You know, it is in trials that we are more susceptible to blame other people. Paul could have blamed the Thessalonians. You know, just grow up. The Thessalonians could have blamed Paul. And it seems like they did have this anxiety about why Paul left. But they're open to hear Paul's side of the story. And here's the fact. Sometimes we will be disappointed by one another. We'll be disappointed by our brothers and sisters, as they were disappointed by Paul. But listen to what Paul says. He says, "I was orphaned from you. I was torn away." This is a passive verb. It wasn't my choice. There were some forces here that were beyond my control. I couldn't help it. I had to leave. And then he also introduces this concept that Satan was at work, that Satan blocked my way. There's something going on that we don't see, that we don't know about. But so often when I'm hurt, I just want to place the blame on that person who has hurt me rather than to consider that there is a spiritual warfare going on, that there are some things out of people's control, that Satan himself somehow is working in this world. And so Paul reminds them that he really cares about him. And this is what the church needs to be. Instead of just jumping to conclusions, "I can't believe that person said whatever you heard that they may have said," and then not supporting that person or loving that person or hearing that person's side of the story or not considering that there are circumstances beyond other people's control that we may interpret as a lack of love, but really it's a consequence of this warfare. Paul writes a lot about that in other letters in Ephesians. And I don't understand it all. I don't know what's all going on. But it does seem to be that there are things happening outside of this reality that are working in this world. Paul reminds them, "I really care about you. I really love you. And I'm doing everything that I can to get back to you." But recognize that there are these spiritual battles. So we need to love one another through these battles. The church needs to be a place where we love one another. All right, a third thing, Paul wants them to know that their endurance is strengthening other people as well. 1 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 8. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. So Paul is saying, we've heard this report from Timothy, and we know what you're going through. Timothy has related specifically what that church is going through. But he's also said they're standing firm. They're enduring these trials. They haven't given up. And he says, as he observes their faithfulness and their endurance, it is actually strengthening him as well. So your endurance through trials is inspiring other people to endure through trials as well. Now, I know many of you have gone through all sorts of trials, all sorts of difficulties, some specifically related to your faith and some that are just trials that we go through in life that Satan uses to lead us to doubt in God. But knowing the faithfulness of all of you is inspiring to me and to others who are observing you. He even mentions early in this section that others have gone through trials just like you. He says, in Judea, in Jerusalem, you're not alone. This isn't unique. We all go through trials. You're going through the same thing. And that's another thing. Sometimes when we go through trials and difficulties, we think, I'm the only one who's going through this struggle, through this trial. Paul reminds them that this is the lot of all believers, and specifically mentions the church in Jerusalem. And so one reason we endure these trials is that we know other people are watching, and that some way God is using our endurance to strengthen them as they are going through trials, or as they will be going through trials. And we also know that in some way God is using those trials for our own benefit, to strengthen us and for us to grow. So to be a model church that endures, people, we need to know that there's going to be trials. We need to love one another through these trials. And we need to know that my strength is inspiring other people. Now again, I wish I could say that the Christian life will be all smooth sailing. But I would be lying. And I would be contradicting Paul. I'd be contradicting Jesus. I'd be contradicting the whole of Scripture to tell you that. And so don't expect it to be easy all of the time. Don't expect people to slap you on the back and congratulate you and admire you for the Christian life that you are living. Know that conviction to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ will to some degree bring us these trials and this temptation. It can be hard. But we have chosen this path, not because it's easy. We've chosen this path because it is right and it is good. And we have chosen this path because we know the destination. And we know that the destination is worth whatever comes our way. And we need to remind ourselves, especially during trials, that the destination is so much more important than the path that we walk. I love Paul's words at the end of this section, chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. And so I want this to be our prayer for this church as well as it was Paul's prayer for the church in Thessalonica. So Park Avenue Church of Christ, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Now that's a model church, isn't it? Loving each other through trials, strengthening one another, and always keeping our eyes on the coming of Jesus Christ. As I read this letter from Paul, I am convicted. For me and for this church, that this place needs to be a place where people can share struggles with one another and not find a condemning, accusing voice, but someone who walks alongside you during those trials. And maybe you're experiencing a trial right now. And I want you to know that God is there with you and for you. And he is holding you up. And I want you to know that he is more powerful than any trial that you are going through. And again, as a church, we want to walk with you as well. And so that's why the elders are out in the hallway at the beginning of the sermon time. And that's why we're here. We want to help one another, because it's not easy, is it? It can be difficult. It can be hard. And so today, if you need the prayers of this family, we invite you to do that. Sometimes people come up and ask for the prayers. If not, then find one of the elders, find one of the ministers, give us a call, an email, a text, whatever it may be. Because we want to be there for one another. We want to be that model church. Let's pray and then we'll sing this song. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for this beautiful letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Father, I thank you for this body of Christ that meets here in this place. Father, for the times that I personally have gone through trials and difficulties, that this church family has walked alongside me. And Father, I see it. I see it all the time. Father, what a blessing it is to be part of a loving community. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to even deeper embrace this sense of community, the sense of love. Father, as we see these faces, as we greet and interact with people here, Father, we know that there are people that are struggling with their faith, struggling with some situation. And Father, we want to be brothers and sisters. We want to be a family that walks alongside people to strengthen them. Father, Satan is after every one of us, whatever fashion, whatever way he's working. Father, even our own hearts are deceptive and works against us at times. And Father, we pray that we will find strength in one another, that we will endure. Father, that we will not stray from this path, that our eyes may be fixed on that destination of heaven. And Father, just remind us that you are always there for us. In the storms of life, you are always there. You are our God. You're not going anywhere. You're always there. You're always loving us to hold us up. And even when everyone else fails us, you are there to remind us of your great love, to strengthen us, to continue on this path back to you. Thank you for being that great God and that loving Father for every one of us. Father, today I especially pray if there's someone here who is facing a unique and a difficult and a stressful trial, that you would just comfort them and be with them. Father, help them to hold on. Help them not to give up. Help them to endure. Father, give them your peace. Give them your comfort as they go through whatever difficulty, whatever trial they are experiencing right now. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand up, church, together and sing this song.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait.